of God. So if you have a Bible, try and find them. If not, I read them. The first is in an Old Testament prophet called Joel. Daniel, and then Hosea, and then we have Joel, and chapter number 2. Joel chapter 2, blow ye, verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now, over to the New Testament, to Luke's Gospel in chapter number 1. Luke chapter 1. And verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. Look down to verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Chapter 2 and verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. And because there was no room for them in the inn, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came around upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Now, finally, in Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Now, just one more reading in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse 9, and when he had spoken, that is the Lord Jesus, these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And we know that God will bless his word. As we look tonight on the news, I don't normally take my messages from the news, but I cannot help this week but look at the news headlines. And as we look at our world, I think we'll all agree that it's not in a very good position as we look at the conflicts, and especially those that are happening in the Middle East. But you know, as I looked at the headlines, what really has impressed me is just the name of a little country that has been on our headlines all week. And it's not a very big country. It's just about 400 miles in length. It's only about 85 miles in breadth. But it's the only country in the world that has God in its name, Israel. And there on our screens, brought before us day after day, is this place that we have read of in the Bible. Israel, it means God has prevailed. And if you don't know the history of it, I want to tell you, you can't know it unless you read your Bible, the Word of God. That's why I've read just so many scriptures tonight, to impress upon us the great evidence and witness of this land and of that nation. Though at war tonight, and I'm not here to make judgments on what it's doing, but I want to tell you this, that it's a place that we find often in this book. Why? Because it's the place that God chose to set his love upon a world of sinners. And it's the place that God chose for his son to come into this world to save sinners. Oh yes, we can go back to the book of Genesis and learn about a man called Jacob who wrestled with God, and he changed his name to Israel. It was the name of a man. And of course, Israel, Jacob had 12 sons. And it wasn't long before a family became a nation that God said, "Thou art my son, even my firstborn son." And God chose that nation to reveal to the world himself. And yet, sadly, we know that the history of that nation is that they rejected their God, and they rejected the Messiah. And it came to a head one day at a place called Jerusalem, where there he was delivered up to be crucified. And so I want just to look this evening at three places that we find in the land of Israel that are found in the Bible. And these three places, I believe, are very unique, and yet they're very essential for anyone to have an understanding of the gospel. And so I want to bring you just simply and sound the alarm, as we've read in the prophet Joel. You know, there are many alarms going off in Israel today. I understand that their defense system, the Iron Dome, it sounds a great alarm when there are missiles coming in, and so that people can go to take cover and go to their bunker. But I want to tell you tonight, we're sounding a far greater alarm than the Iron Dome. We want to sound the alarm to Bicester this evening. And it's not incoming missiles that we're warning you about, but we've read in the last reading of a soon coming Messiah, a soon coming Christ. And we want to tell you, Jesus is coming again. I wonder, are you rapture ready? I wonder, are you ready for him to come? Because let me tell you, he's coming. But the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ occurred at a place called Bethlehem. I want to think tonight of Bethlehem, and simply this, that Jesus Christ came for me. Then I want us to come to Jerusalem, and there I want you to learn that Jesus Christ, he died for me. And then I want us to come to the Mount of Olives, beautiful place. He left there, and he's coming back there one day. And the Bible tells me that after he takes the church to meet him in the air, I can look at the Mount of Olives and say, he's coming back with me. I'm going to come back with him to reign. This is all laid out in the Bible very clearly. Oh, that the politicians of the world would read their Bible, and they would see God's great plan of salvation and redemption. And they would see the significance of why. Did you ever wonder why the world is interested in such a seemingly insignificant little piece of land? A little strip of land that's hardly bigger than the country of Wales. That's no disregard to Wales or anybody that's from it. But I'm just making the point that you would say, in terms of point of scale, why would you be interested in this little piece of land? I want to tell you, it's because God is interested in it. And so it is. One starry night, at that little place so insignificant that seemed Bethlehem. The Bible says, though thou be least amongst the princes of Judah, yet out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. And I want to tell you, I love to read those verses over and over again as Mary and Joseph came. It was amazing, you know, how God moved them to Bethlehem. Mary conceived in Nazareth. But the Bible said in the Old Testament that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And God saw to it that there was a census took place in order that this couple would be moved to Bethlehem. And there, Mary, the one who rejoiced in God her Saviour, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling bands, and laid him in a manger. What's the message tonight? It is that the Son of God, he came into the world to save sinners, and he came to save you and me. Oh, come to Bethlehem and see the one who has been born. Yes, Mary would have looked at him, and she could say, he's my firstborn son. But you could also look at him, and you could say of him, he's the Son of God. Yes, he became a man, never having been a man before, but he never ceased to be what he always was, the eternal Son of God, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. In chapter 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and thou shalt call his name Wonderful. These beautiful names of Christ, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, there's his deity. He really is God. Verily God, yet become truly human. Lower than angels to die in our stead. Do you know what the name Bethlehem means? It means house of bread. And everywhere where you have Bethlehem in your Bible, you see that God has provided. You go back to its first mention, Bethlehem Ephratah. And there you remember Jacob. His wife died in childbirth and had a son called Benoni. But Jacob changed his name to Benjamin, meaning the son of my right hand. And there at Ephratah, joy was brought to Israel in a son that was born. It was through Boaz, the kinsman redeemer in that lovely book of Ruth, that Israel had a redeemer. He came from Bethlehem, the wealth of the redeemer. It was from Bethlehem that we find King David, anointed, God's chosen. And so Bethlehem provided Israel with a king. But this night, Bethlehem provides the world with a saviour. And so the wise men, the shepherds, got that message. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a saviour, which is Christ the Lord. You know, it was always that Jerusalem was called the city of David. But now we find that lowly Bethlehem has been elevated. It's called the city of David. Why? Because Christ always elevates a place. Christ always elevates a person. And even the very place where he lived in Nazareth. Lowly Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know what the Apostle Paul found on the Damascus Road? The one who spoke to him from heaven. Who is it? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And that lowly Nazareth, God took that little place and brought it straight into heaven. I want to tell you that's what he wants to do with you. He wants to take you, a guilty sinner. He wants to elevate you and take you all the way into glory. Could it be any better? But in order for him to lift you up, Christ had to come down. That's what touches my heart tonight. And did you know that Israel is the lowest geographical point as far as the land is concerned in this world? The Dead Sea, it's 1,300 meters below sea level. The lowest point. And where is it that Christ chooses to come? He chooses to come to the lowest place. And he was made lower than the angels. And he became lowest of the low, born in just a manger in Bethlehem. And he became low. And he became poor that you might become rich. And so I look at Bethlehem and I learn this. The house of bread. God provided a saviour. And Christ came all the way down. And he was born there for a sinner like me. But then I want to just take you through his life We cannot spend any time at Nazareth, blessed place. But there was a day when he left Nazareth. As a boy, he grew up there. And he went out into a public ministry. And we've read how he told his disciples what must happen. How that before him there lay suffering. There lay rejection. And he was always directed with his face towards Jerusalem. Why? Because that was the appointed place where I discover this, that not only did Christ come into the world for me, but there at that cross, Jesus died for me. Oh, could you come tonight to Jerusalem? You say it's not a very peaceful city. That's what it means, Jerusalem. It means a city of peace. If you meet a Jew in Israel today, they will often say to you, Shalom. That means peace. It means your well-being. That's the meaning in the city of Jerusalem, in that word. But you know, it's a divided city today, divided into four quarters. There's a Catholic quarter, an Armenian quarter, a Jewish quarter, and a Christian quarter. Why is that? Because they rejected God and Christ. And that's always what happens. When a world or a nation rejects Christ, they end up with divisions. They end up with people fighting and conflict. Sometimes people say to me, you know, well, Christianity is the cause of all the wars in the world. It couldn't be farther from the truth. The gospel unites people. Why? Because God so loved the world. We learned last night he makes no difference because there is no difference. And Jerusalem one day will know peace because my Bible tells me in the book of Romans that a redeemer shall come to Zion. And it is when they accept Christ as their Redeemer, and only when they look upon him whom they pierced, and they acknowledge that he was wounded for our transgressions, will the nation find peace and salvation in Christ. But you know, you could find salvation in Christ tonight in peace. If you were just to prepare to come to the cross and just accept simply, boys and girls, men and women, that Jesus died there for me. You know, if you go to Jerusalem and you get a bus out of the center, there's a bus stop that you can get off at that's called Calvary. You know, if you get off at Calvary, you can see the place where he died, the cross, Skull Hill. It's just a bus stop now. But I was thinking it would be good and better if somebody got off at Calvary tonight. Somebody stopped by the foot of the old rugged cross and got your eyes filled with the bleeding man, the one who was lifted up for us to die. Listen to what he said. It is finished, was his cry. And now in heaven exalted high. Could you not sing hallelujah, what a saviour? You say it's not for me. Well, my friend, if it's not for you, you'll never be saved. Because every person who is saved, as they look at Christ and his death upon the cross, they'll do as we've been singing. They'll be able to say, it's all for me. Oh, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. Why do you think it's not for you tonight? You see, when people say that to me, it's not for me. If I get time, I always correct them. I say, well, excuse me, what you're really saying is, he is not for me. See, tonight, it's whether you're prepared to receive Christ, the person. It's not a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It's not a historical understanding of what took place there. It's understanding why he was there, that it was personally for my sins. Listen, if you could get to heaven through your good works, why did Christ have to die outside Jerusalem city walls? Why did he come all the way to Bethlehem if you could get to heaven yourself? Listen, the only reason that you can ever be in heaven is because he left heaven. The only reason that you can have life is because he died. The only reason that you can have eternal life is because on the third day he rose again. You know, just beside Gordon's Calvary, a short distance from it, you know there's a tomb. And you can go and look in it. You wouldn't be the first person to look in it. And anybody who looks at it now, you know, they don't see what the first people saw when they looked into it. Peter and John, they came that day. It says they were running. You know what they found? They found the stone moved. The seal was broken. A Roman seal. The soldiers, a ring of steel round the tomb. They were asleep.
And when they went in, what did they find? They found the grave clothes. And then John says a napkin in a place by itself. There's the evidence that he rose. And the napkin that was around his head, unlike Lazarus, who had to have someone to remove the napkin, Christ didn't need that. He had the power to rise. And on the third day he rose, and he was seen. That's the evidence of his resurrection. What evidence more do you want? He was seen, and the Romans could never produce the body. That's all they had to do to discredit the gospel. They only need to say, here's his body. They couldn't do it. Why? Because he arose. And with many infallible proofs, he appeared to his own, over 500 at once. And he led them out one day to a place, the Mount of Olives. Still there, you can go and visit it, in Jerusalem. We're not talking about fiction tonight, it's reality. And there he ascended back into heaven. Mark says he was received up into heaven. Now here's just as I close what I want to ask you. If heaven was prepared to receive Christ, why are you not? Heaven was prepared to receive him. Do you know why? Because heaven was satisfied with what he did at the cross. Heaven asks no more. Why are you asking more? Why will you not rest on Christ tonight and be saved? Because he said himself to as many as have received him. You must receive him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe in his name. You say, how do I receive him? I'll tell you how. You believe. Believe and receive. Believe on him and receive him. I was telling folks just in the house about my father. He was going through the airport. He had to bring over some little toys for my daughter a number of years ago. And you know, he was going through the security and all the little toys emptied out down the elevator there, and security said to him, you can't bring that through, sorry. You know, he thought, what was he going to do? The little girl was going to be very disappointed. So he went round the airport, spoke to someone that he thought would be sympathetic, and thankfully he got the right person. And they said to him, listen, when you're going through again and they stop you, just say that David said it's all right. So he went through. He came to the same people. They said, sorry, we told you, sir, that you couldn't come through. Ah, but he says, David says it's all right. Oh, that's all right. Go on through. Who are you depending on to let you into heaven? Whose name? I'm thankful when it comes my turn. I'll get in through the gates. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ said so. That's the authority of his name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. No other name will do, neither the name of Moses or Abraham or Joel the prophet or Mary Joseph or the Apostle Paul. It's the lovely name of Jesus. That's where you need to rest tonight. So it is, as he ascended up and heaven received him. The promise is this. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. And as the world tonight prepares for its conflicts and arms itself to the teeth with nuclear weapons and will surround in a coming day Jerusalem, the one thing that they've forgotten is this, that there's one who is coming back, who last they saw upon a cross, but he's going to come, Revelation says, upon a white horse. King of kings and Lord of lords. Who are you subject tonight? Who are you subject to? Is it death, the king of terrors? Or is it Christ, the king of kings? I'm thankful tonight I'm on the side of the king of kings. Wouldn't change places with you for all the money in the world. And he's coming back. He'll come back to that very spot, the Mount of Olives. Oh, thank God he came for me. I'll never be able to thank him enough. Thank God at Jerusalem he died for me. And thank God he's coming for me and he's coming with me. What a wonderful Savior we have. Israel, you'll see it on the news tonight. Remember the significance of it. God shall prevail. And Christ will see it. May God bless you.